You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca, Alberta's only regulated online gambling website. Use the promo code, and you get a new one every month, Greger50, and you'll get a free $50 play only at PlayAlberta.ca.
I was listening to the show earlier, and it was Connor Halley running it. I kind of thought I was getting him today. I'm a little disappointed, Jay.
Yeah, well, hey, there you go, buddy. That's what happens. We had something important come up, and we'll discuss it tomorrow on the show. But the con man was nice to kind of fill in the last moment. So
Carried the ball, great. Man.
That's what you have to do. You know, when someone's tying their shoes, someone's got to step in. It's just how it goes. It was funny because a very different situation, but I can see why there'd be some concern in Vancouver, even though there's still an extra year. But you know, Oilers fans, and I've said, I still believe, you know, very confidently that Connor McDavid's going to sign a contract extension. Now, I don't know how long, but I firmly believe he'll sign one. What about Quinn Hughes? They haven't had the success that McDavid's had in Edmonton, right? There's actually been a lot of drama in Vancouver, but it's still in the history of the NHL. Like, there's Mitch Marner, there's John Tavares, and I know Pietrangelo left, but that was more because the team kind of dicked him around, and then he was finally like, okay, I'm leaving in free agency, right? Like, it doesn't happen very often. Do you think, should Canuck fans be concerned about Quinn Hughes, or is this probably going to be more noise than actual leaving?
Yeah, no. I think there's a couple of reasons to be concerned. You know, let's bounce it off of McDavid and even Marner. You know, Marner was very complex in Toronto, but the Toronto Maple Leafs are a pretty good team. I know they never get it done. He's a big part of that. But they're a pretty good team, and they're having success, and you think they should be even better. McDavid in Edmonton, two Stanley Cups in a row, genuine Stanley Cup contender. His question mark in Edmonton is how long are they going to be a Stanley Cup contender? Am I signing on for years when the team's going to not be as good? The team's saying to him, don't you worry, Connor, we're going to be good. Vancouver's a whole different ballgame. They haven't been good. There's been a ton of superfluous drama. And I think the biggest one, Jay, is he's got two brothers playing in New Jersey, right?
Mm-hmm. One of them isn't signed yet.
Yeah, well, two brothers playing in New Jersey. That's a big one. If it was me, I'd love to play with my brothers. If it was you, I bet you would too. So that's something that no other superstar has out there. And I think, frankly, I'll be honest with you, it's got to be about, can we win a cup? And Vancouver needs to take a step this year in the right direction. Elias Pettersson, their franchise player, has to take a step in the right direction. They need to show Quinn Hughes, okay, here we go. We're close. We can win. If they can't show him that, I don't expect them to stay.
Well, yeah. Here's the thing about New Jersey, though. Like, Luke Hughes doesn't have a contract even in New Jersey. And, here's the thing. I think it's kind of unrealistic to think an NHL team would house all three brothers. When you look at what they probably make, and when you just look at kind of the style and the size, I don't know if that's championship to have, you know, all three of your key players not necessarily being big guys.
Well, you won't catch me disagreeing on that front. Quinn Hughes is good enough to be as small as he is, and he's small. Like, I stood next to him enough times in dressing rooms to tell you, he's a small person, man. But he's good enough. Like, he's still a Norris Trophy guy. So, yes, you're right, Jason. Too much, your best players can't all be small. But Quinn Hughes can play for my team no matter what I got going on, and I'll figure the rest out somewhere else.
Mark Spector joins us. Spec, you look at, we are 2 weeks away from training camp. Rookie camp gets going next week.
Yes.
Then they're going to have some rookie games actually at Rogers Place this year on the Friday night. It's $20 a ticket. It'll be like Savoy's going, Howard's going. I don't see any other rookies at that camp that I think have a chance to compete for the team. But Savoy or Howard, who intrigues you more this coming year?
Well, I think I'm going to say Howard because I feel like there's way less known about him. Like, I feel like I watched Matt Savoy play some games. What did he play in the minors last year? It was 64 games or something like that. You have to look it up, but I believe it was mid-60s. So I feel like he's got, and he had a bunch of points. He had 40-some points. Like, he had a real good first pro season. I feel like I have a better idea that I think he can do it. He's small. They're both small. But I feel like if he can do it in the NHL, I'll bet you he can do it in the NHL at some point here. Howard's a whole new deal, man. Howard, If I had $20 for every time some hotshot came out of the NCAA and was going to light the NHL on fire and never did it, right, I'd have been retired by now. So, you know, I'm not telling you he can't do it. I'm just saying the mold he comes from, those guys get mega overrated down there. They play for Team USA. It's an all-star team. They play college hockey. It's not as good sometimes as everyone makes it out to be. And then they're going to walk right into the NHL. How many playoff points did that Leonard have last year? He was supposed to be the best player not in the NHL, right? I don't have hockey to be in front of me, but not many.
No, so, dude, not many at all. Like, and that's, hey, that's just the truth. Like, it, in today's NHL, and as always, like, there's been a few Marty St. Louis, and there's been a few Theon Fleurys that have great success. Yeah. There's no debate on that, but
they're outliers.
Size matters. It just does, right? And then, you know what? You kind of got to be gritty, for sure. To, you know, to add to that, like Theron Fleury was no shrinking violet, obviously due to his, you know, what happened to him, right? The guy's overcome a lot of stuff,
yeah,
right? When he was, when he was a player, right? They're outliers. So yeah, I don't think it's a thing. Now, can you have some skilled guys? 100%. And, you know, I think if you have one smaller forward in your top six, that's no problem because lots of teams have won with one. You just can't have multiple.
Yeah. You can't have too many. Your best guys can't all be tiny. You know, we watched the Montreal Canadiens try that for a while, and they're always trying to get bigger. It doesn't work. Jersey's that team now. Edmonton's not that team at this point. Zach Hyman's more than big enough, first-line player. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins isn't a giant. He's a physical player, but he's big enough, first-line player. Connor McDavid, first-line player. Leon Draisaitl, I guess, second-line player. You know, there's enough guys. They play Pod Colson up there. He's big enough. So, sure, Savoy and Howard are both tiny, not big guys, man. They are small guys. And if, you know, you can't have, I would say to you, Jay, I better not have another guy that's 5'8 in my top nine. That's for sure. I think they just used up the two holes you get for really small guys. Can they both play? Hell, they could both be all-stars. Like, little guys can play. Don't get me wrong. We all knew Johnny Gaudreau, and he was a really, really good player. And there's many more of them. Caulfield. I mean, you can just go down the list. There's all kinds of small guys now. But don't tell me that it's not a bigger challenge when you're trying to make it from the NCAA, which is a mile below the American League and about 10 miles below the NHL. So you're trying to make that jump, and you're trying to make it at 5'8", 100 and what is he? I don't even know what he weighs. 180?
Yeah.
182? That's a major jump for Ike Howard, man. It is a major jump.
Yeah. Was Zach Hyman claiming he's hoping, you know, he'll be ready to start the season? Kind of tells me he might not be ready. Who do you see as the best candidate to take Zach Hyman's spot, even if it's for only a few weeks?
Yeah, that's a good question, hey? It's a good question. Like, I guess when I'm thinking about right wingers, I'm thinking about Matt Savoy, but I don't love taking a young kid like that and throwing him on the first line next to Connor McDavid, Jay. I think that's too much pressure and too much expectation and too much setting a young player up for failure. I would, if I was coaching the Edmonton Oilers, I would never make that move. You're not going to find another Zach Hyman.
No.
I mean, who, you know, you don't have another Zach Hyman. That's why he's your best right winger,
yeah.
Right? He's your best right winger. So who's your second line right winger on this team? Is it Savoy?
No, I think it's Mangiapane.
Mangiapane. Thank you. Forgot about Mangiapane. I'll probably go Mangiapane in that spot till Hyman gets back. He's a veteran. He can handle any expectation. If it doesn't go well, he's not going to get ruined. So, yeah, you just named a guy, didn't you?
Well, I see. I would keep Mangiapane with Draisaitl because it's only going to be temporary. And the guy that intrigues me the most is David Tomasek. Yeah, he's an NHL rookie, but he's 29. And, you know, he's man strength. He's heavy. You know what? He obviously has produced some offense the last 2 years. And now he's not going to replace Hyman's scoring. Obviously not. I think that would be wishful thinking to do. But you know what? Corey Perry at 39 spec got some shifts there last year. So don't tell me that Tomasek can't skate well enough to play for a few weeks with Connor McDavid if Corey Perry can.
Oh, that's fair. You just said it. If Corey Perry can make it through some shifts on McDavid's line, most guys can.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, sure. I guess I'm a little concerned again in you know, Thomas. I wouldn't mind easing Tomasek into the league a little bit. Like, the guy's never played a professional game in North America.
Yeah.
And you're going to bring him over, put him on your first line with the best player in the world, and everyone's looking at him going, well, where's the points?
Yeah, but right? Here's the thing. I don't think many – like, if unless you're a fool, you wouldn't be expecting him to score a lot of points. Look at the top six
first
guys.
Line
yeah, well, what did Arvidsson do? What did Skinner do? Let's go down the list of guys, right? Like, there's lots of guys who haven't produced a ton. And again, it's only for a short period of time. Like, all you are is a coaster holder. For this is not a long-term answer, right? I'm going to say, because now I'll know if I got something or not. That's the best opportunity.
No. I'm not – I see exactly where you're coming from. I mean, listen, it's got to be someone. And you're not rich on – top six right wingers. You're just not on this team right now. So sure, if you know, and I suspect you're right. Zach Hyman, as we speak, is stick handling and passing, not shooting.
Yeah.
Not shooting. So now there's pretty much 6 weeks till the season starts, but I don't get the feeling. I don't get the feeling that he'll play right away. I also don't get the feeling that he won't, that he'll be out a long time.
No.
His rehab just might not jive with the opening of the season. I think it'll come shortly thereafter, personally.
And do you think Nugent Hopkins is going to be a center or a winger? Or is it going to be 50-50?
Well, until Hyman gets back, I'm going to say you got to play him with McDavid, probably. I don't know. I just, long-term, I don't see Ryan Nugent Hopkins being the third line center that teams win championships with. I don't see it. Do you?
I actually like him better. I thought he's better as a center than he is as a winger. So I don't mind him as a third line center. I thought he played quite well in the playoffs at center.
Well, he had a good playoffs. He's a good player. Like, this isn't me ripping up Nuge. He does so many things well. But I don't, you know, when I think of championship teams with centermen, I think I've said this a million times on your show, Jay. I think of guys like Mike Pekka, and I think of guys like Carboneau and McTavish and Sammy Paulson and John Madden and harder-nosed, tough face-off winning, bulldog check-in type guys. And that doesn't describe Nugent Hopkins to me, does it to you?
Yeah, I don't know if we see, I think, you know, in the checking era of the NHL, you're right. But in today's era of the NHL,
maybe.
So I don't know if I see it as much now. It would be nice, but Nugent Hopkins isn't overly physical. You're bang on with that.
Overly great in the circle.
No. He's gotten okay, right? Like, the Oilers are actually a pretty good face-off team. So, overall, but yeah, I'm kind of curious about it. Like, I just want to see Adam Henrique. I'd like to see in a short period of time, him and McDavid had very good numbers. He is very good around the net. I look at him as a better skater than Patrick Maroon was. Infinitely better player if you look at his overall career. It's not even close. And yeah. I just want to see. I could be totally wrong, and maybe, you know what? Maybe there's no chance. But selfishly, I just would like to see Henrique with McDavid.
Yeah, okay. I don't mind that. I feel like, you know what? Actually, the guy that I think, like, I don't see Henrique having more than a year left here at Edmonton. I think his deal's up after this year, correct?
Yes, he has 1 year left.
Yes. Yeah. I think as an older guy, they'll probably try to get younger. I see you know what I would love? If I was Stan Bowman, I'd like my third line center for the next 7 years to be Trent Frederick. That's what I'd like. I don't know if he could do it. I don't know if he's got the skills, but that's the guy. If you're going to go, let's say McDavid's here the whole time, I'm going to go McDavid up the middle, then Draisaitl, then I got a big, strong, you know, hopefully good at face-offs, a guy that could check, a guy that's physical in my third line center hole. That's my guy, Trent Frederick.
And I expect, just for fun, you know the team that won back-to-back Stanley Cups?
Yeah, I heard of them. Florida.
Yeah, Lundell's a pretty decent third line center. Not already physical. Now they have Bennett though. They have Bennett in their top six, right? And he kind of fluctuates up and down. But like Bennett was on their second line, it was an absolute killer. But that, you know, that third line though was unreal for Florida last year. Now, but they also had a year that I don't think you can ever repeat. I don't think you're going to see a third line score that much. Like, at 5-on-5, they outscored their, I think they had the three of them combined outscored their top two lines. so respectively. But
And what if it's this coming season and they can't be $9.5 million over the cap?
Yeah. Well, we've had
Brad
a lot
Marchand.
Of, yes.
Right. Brad Marchand's not playing for that team. Are we talking about that third line right now if Marchand's not playing on it?
Hey, dude, think about it. Brad Marchand would have been a $6 million cap in the playoffs, not a 1.5.
Right. So,
it's going to be very different.
They won fair and square.
Yeah. But
they were the better team.
Yes.
They played by the rules. I never liked the rule before it. I didn't like it when Chicago was doing it. I didn't like it when LA was doing it. I don't like it that Florida did it. I'm very pleased that no one else gets to do it.
I'm with you on the salary cap. I'm not sure I'm a big believer in if I acquire a player during the year and I get him at 40 with 20 games left and his cap hit is $3 million, right? That's what I'm paying him for argument's sake. Yeah. But then when the playoffs start, now he's back to his full cap hit. I don't really like that. I'm like, it's just limiting player movement during the season. Like that to me is like, we're like, well, we didn't like the teams were abusing it, but no one complained about, hey, you acquired this guy at the deadline and the other team retained half. And that's a total legal part of the game. Now, all of a sudden it's like, well, now the new salary cap kicks in. So that, I think it's like they're double whammying one problem.
Yeah, that's a big one. That part of it is a big part of it. That's for sure.
Yeah.
If we're changing a guy's cap hit from game 82 to game one of the playoffs, that's tough.
Yeah.
That's rough, man.
It's just going to limit. I think it's going to limit trades at the trade deadline. I think that's what it's going to do.
It will.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I mean, you know, I guess like here's what happens. They make rules in the CBA and then the agents figure out the way to blow up those rules, right? It's always the agents that say, hey, GM, if you did this and you did this and you did this, it's compliant and you can gain an advantage. And the GMs go, well, I'm going to check with my cap guy, but I'll get back to you. So to me, they make that move that we're just speaking about because they must see a loophole there. They must see a way that it would get exploited. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think it'd be hard though now. Like salary cap hasn't really been exploited by the agents. Like you can, you know, now I guess they got to you were able to get, buyout proof contracts in a way, sure, by getting more of a signing bonus. But from a cap, you're getting your AAVs, your AAV doesn't really change. Except now, if I acquire a guy and he's a $4 million player, but the other team retains half, well, now he's only a $2 million player for me. But once the playoffs start, now he's a $4 million player.
He goes back to four.
Yeah, like it's. It's a little odd. Now, they do only count 20 players instead of 22 or 3, which teams carry. But usually that 22nd, 23rd, 21st guy are all making $1 million. So it's not like it's going to create a ton of space for you. So it will be interesting to see how it goes. I love the salary cap. I've argued for it for a few years. But I don't like the change in retention. I like moves at the deadline. I think I like teams who want to take a swing and things like that. And if you're able to get a player and it's legal and that's what his cap hit is when he acquired him, why would it change? His cap should remain that percentage of your team's cap when the playoffs begin.
Yeah, I don't love it. I want to think of where teams are going to start trying to cut corners to make that 20-man salary cap work. And if I'm a backup goalie making $3 million, I'm going to be a dinosaur pretty quick.
Oh, that's 100%. Right? You'll be like, hey, our backup. And some games I could see a team say, no, you know what? Geez, if we have some cap hit, guess what? If we have a third stringer, well, we'll dress him, hoping we don't have to go to him because it gives us an extra $2 million to put in someone else in the lineup. But there's not a ton of backups who make $3 million, but there are some teams who kind of have a split, you know, each guy's making $2.5 million or each guy's making $3 or $4 million, right? Like Edmonton's a little bit of an outlier by having, I think it's 3% of their cap or just above 3.5% of their cap goes to goaltending. It's very low compared to other teams.
I think what you're saying, you've got it. Teams where there's two goalies that say, let's say for fun, they both make $3 million, they'll pick their starter. They'll put the farm team guy on the bench and hope like heck no one gets injured. That's what they'll do.
If they need to, Like if they're in a tight cap crunch, I could definitely see it doing. Before we let you go, Spec, I don't know if you watched Felix Auger-Aliassime today. Makes it to the semifinal of the U.S. Open. Now, obviously, he's going up against, I don't even know which one, but he's going up against one of the two juggernauts, so it's going to be very difficult. But, man, the guy's playing great tennis right now.
Yeah, I did. I watched the last two sets. out here. And I was, you know what, I was really impressed with how cool and calm he was. Like he didn't play like a guy about to get in, you know, trying to win his way into a U.S. Open semifinal, Final Four. I thought he looked like he was just in charge. He won, didn't he, the last three sets, 7-6, 7-5, 7-6.
Yeah.
The crunch time, he was even better than at the beginning of the set. I was very – he looked like a guy that's been there a few times, even though we all know he hasn't, Jay.
Yeah. No, it's true. He's – yeah, like it would be unreal if he can win his next match, because like right now in tennis and Alcaraz and Sinner, like, oh my goodness, like those guys almost look unbeatable. Like it looks like almost every tournament they're going to be in the final, but all it takes is one guy to disrupt it. Maybe it'll be him. Well, I'll be watching.
He gets the winner between Sinner and the other Italian whose name I don't know.
Yeah.
But hey, let's see what happens. Let's, you know, it's been a pretty good year for Canadian tennis. Let's see if this kid can keep her rolling here.
Yeah. Awesome, Spec. Have yourself a good one.
All right, Jay.